Good morning.
Good morning.
It is so good to see you. Thankful to get to be with you today. And looking forward to spending a little bit of time in the Word of God and thinking about the concept of respect. What I hope that we will be able to do after we have thought together for a few minutes today and after we have looked in the Word of God for a few minutes today, that we will have a better understanding of where we should be, who we should be, as we go out into the world and deal with our fellow man, and certainly as we stand before Almighty God each and every day. So what I want us to do is think about the concept of respect. Now, in a lot of ways, I'm just trying to get your attention. Maybe you're aware of the fact that today the NFL season gets into full swing. Lots of games on the slate today. For a couple of years now, there has been what might be an understatement to say a ton of controversy around what either should or should not happen during the national anthem when it's played before each and every game. There's two sides, two major sides to the story, right? Those on one side say respect should be shown for the flag and for the country and for the armed forces. On the other side, they say respect should be shown for those who are being mistreated in our society. I bring it up, like I said, to draw you in and get your attention. I have zero intention of really talking about the whole national anthem controversy. I'm not going to talk about that. And so please also, after services today, don't come and tell me what you think. Should all the players stand or not? Here's what I want us to think about. I bring this situation up because you need to see, we all need to see that the controversy centers around the idea of respect. On both sides of the issue, what they're calling for is respect. So I want you to have thought about respect. On a less controversial note, but on a very sad note, just a couple of weeks ago, this is something else that's made me think about this word. Aretha Franklin passed away not long ago. I remember she was famous for a lot of songs. Her catalog of songs was extremely long. But probably her most well-known song was the one, Respect. Actually, if you really know your music, it's actually an Otis Redding song that she made famous, but that's not the point here. The song, Respect, is really about this one little bitty idea. Even though it's catchy and it's fun to sing, the simple message of the song, Respect, is to show somebody respect. That's better than money. That's really what the song is about. I'd rather have your respect than your money. Wouldn't you rather get from me my respect than to get my money? That's what the song is about. Respect's better than money. So with Aretha Franklin just passing away and with the whole NFL thing, I want us to think about respect. Respect is commonly defined as the act of giving special attention to someone. The act of giving special attention to something because they are held in high esteem or high honor. Respect is to admire someone for their excellent qualities. So I want us to think through this today, and we're going to talk about it from three different angles, three different approaches. We're going to talk about what it is to show respect to others, what it is to respect ourselves, and most of all, what encompasses all these other things, most of all, what it is to show respect to Jesus Christ. So let's think about these things for a few minutes together today, starting with the idea of showing respect to others. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13 at verse 7 that we are to pay to all what is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed and honor to whom honor is owed. God expects us, He demands of us, He commands us to be the kind of people that offer and show respect to those who've earned it. He expects that of us. So what does that mean? What does it mean to show respect? There's a lot of different ways. We could probably spend all kinds of time listing all the different kinds of ways that we might be respectful of others and things like that. But let's just think through a couple of very common things. How do I show respect to other people? Okay? You might have a pretty long list in your own mind already, but just think with me for a few minutes about some of these. General principles in showing respect. Because this is going to play a role later whenever we get to the last part of the lesson and we talk about showing respect to God. So how do I respect you? How do you respect me? How do when we go out in life, when we go to work, we go to school, how do we show respect to other people? Okay, number one, let's start with this. I show respect to you by listening to you. The way you show someone respect is that you listen to them. Being a good listener, showing eye contact, using head nods. I mean, just this morning already, I've only been up here a couple of minutes, and already this morning, as I've made eye contact with a couple of you, I've already seen a couple of you do this. Because you're seeking to engage. You're trying to rise above the distractions. And you're trying to listen. And that's one of the ways that you show respect to someone, is that when you are engaged in a conversation, be it something that's about things that are deep or about things that are frivolous, if you're going to show respect, you're going to look at someone, look them in the eye, and you're going to show them that you're listening. Mm-hmm, yes, mm-hmm, maybe make a few noises. Yeah, yeah. Maybe even ask a question or two. Could you clarify that for me? Now, did I understand you right? Is this what you said? You show them, I'm listening to what you're saying. You're showing them, I respect you because I'm attempting to hear, I'm attempting to understand what you are saying. The Bible would say it this way in James chapter 1, verse 19, be quick to hear. Be someone who attempts to show others respect by just listening. Careful listening communicates, I respect you. And I think you can obviously see what the opposite of that would be. To very callously, to very boldly be looking in other places and making noises like, looking at your watch, whatever it might be. We're pretty good at those kinds. I can show you some pretty slick disrespect, right? I got lots of practice at it. But if I'm going to show you respect, I'm going to seek to hear you. I'm going to listen. Another thing would be this. Not interrupting. One of the most disrespectful actions in which we can engage is to begin speaking up so as to cut off and drown out someone else who's already speaking. Again, James chapter 1, verse 19, the Bible says, be slow to speak. Interrupting and refusing to quietly listen communicates disrespect. And I've got to tell you, this is not limited to children. It certainly involves children and their parents. It involves children and adults, but it's not limited to that. So many adults need to take notice of this. So many of us are wrapped up in who we are, what our ideas are about, that we're pretty certain nobody else knows as much as we do. And no matter what else anybody else is saying, when they're talking, all I'm doing is seeking to get a time I can wedge my words in. I'm going to drown you out so you can hear me. Well, that's as disrespectful as it comes. Listening, refusing to interrupt. And then next would be this. Including other people in important decisions. Including other people in important decisions. This is especially the case like in a work environment. If I respect your ability, if I respect your input, I'm going to include you in the decisions that are being made. Obviously, this has a major role with spouses. When homes are making decisions, that we make sure people are involved. If I respect you, I'm going to let you know what's going on, right? Keeping others in the dark just communicates disrespect. Keeping people in the dark communicates a lack of respect. What about this one? And we got a long list here, but I'll just mention two more. We could probably talk about how to respect and disrespect people all day, but what about this one? What about being on time? When I am late for an appointment that I have with you, what does that, whether I say it or not, what does that communicate? When I show up late for my appointment with you, what am I telling you? Well, here's the deal, man. My time's way more valuable than your time. I had all kinds of things going on. You have nothing going on. I need to accomplish 100 things. All you need to do is meet with me. My time's more valuable than yours. When you are late to whatever it might have been, you're showing you cannot keep your word. We're not talking about, you know, those special circumstances when there's wrecks and there's illnesses and there's just life that happens. But when the normal course of events is that you can't find yourself to make your appointment, that communicates a lack of respect for the other person's time. And then what about this one? This is the last one I'll give you for this morning before we move on. What about not respecting someone's boundaries? It could be something as simple as looking through other people's things while they're not around. If I start rifling through your things While you're not looking, does that show you that I respect you? Or what about this? It could be way, way, way more serious. Maybe something like personal space. So hear me when I say this. Let me say it as delicately as maybe as I'm able. When two unmarried people are alone, to cross certain boundaries is disrespectful. You're telling the other person, I don't care about who you are, really. You're telling the other person, I choose to use you as an object today. I choose to use you as an object just to fulfill my own desires today. If I cared for you, if I loved you, I would treat you differently. I would respect your boundaries. Now, like I said, we could list a lot more, but that's enough for now. Let's talk specifically about this, that when I'm seeking to show respect for others, when I turn to the pages of Scripture, you know what I find? I find places like, turn to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19 is a passage of Scripture that is going to talk about how to be holy. The whole concept, Leviticus 19 verse 2, God tells Moses, look, speak to all the congregation. God tells Moses, go stand in front of my people, tell the whole group, speak to the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy for I am holy. I am the Lord your God and I am holy. Okay, so that's what I'm setting this stage for. You need to know Leviticus 19 is about how to live a holy life. Leviticus 19 is how to live like God would have us live. It's about how to live like God. So you drop down in that chapter, Leviticus 19, look at verse 32. And so right in the middle of this very powerful, very deep chapter, Leviticus 19, telling us how to be holy, he says this in verse 32, you shall stand up before the gray head. Literally, stand up, get up out of your seat. You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man. You shall fear the Lord your God, I am the Lord. He was instructing, God told Moses, instruct the people, show respect to the elderly. When an older man, what he was telling them, what Moses was telling people, when an older man enters the room, you stand up and show some respect. It's kind of turned into today where none of that ever happens. It used to be that you stood up when a lady entered the room, right? A woman walks into the room, all the men were to stand up. And I don't see that happening much anymore. Pretty much the only time we ever do this now is when a judge enters a courtroom, but we're told, all rise. In other words, you're shamed into it instead of doing it the way that respects and reveres the office, as it were. What about this? Something that it always impresses me is when you're walking past someone and maybe you're standing and they're sitting and they stand up to greet you. It's a sign of respect. Oftentimes, if there's some illness, some kind of body thing, they'll say, forgive me for not standing up. They recognize the respectful thing to do would be to stand here. Well, here's the point I want to make. God tells these people in Leviticus 19, you show respect to them. You show respect to those who've been through the battles. You show respect to those who've come out on the other side. You stand when that white-headed man comes into the room because he has been there and he has seen it and you are standing on his shoulders now. And what about this? In a place like Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5, where when the book of God was opened, and it says that all the people stood to listen. The book of God was opened. The words of God were opened up, and all the people stood up to show their respect for the very words of God that would be read in their hearing. According to the prophet of Isaiah, if you look in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 5, Isaiah tells us that a failure to respect the elderly is a sign in the culture that that culture is on the brink of collapsing. Did you know that? In Isaiah 3, read this with me. Isaiah 3, verse 5. Isaiah 3, 5. And the people will oppress one another, and every one of his fellow, every one his neighbor, the youth will be insolent. The youth will be insolent to the elder. They'll be disrespectful to the elders, and the despised to the honorable. That's lifted out of a context that's talking about, God says, when this is what's going on in the world, this is when I remove my protection and you collapse. That's pretty serious. God is expecting respect to be shown from one generation to the next. One of the greatest examples of disrespect would be with King Rehoboam, Solomon's son, in 1 Kings chapter 12. You remember this, right? 1 Kings 12. Rehoboam's trying to decide what to do. And he asked the council of the elders, those who were the the wise men, the council of men who helped his father Solomon, he asked them for advice and they give it. Then he asked the younger crowd, those that have been his buddies since day one, he asked them for advice. And he ignores, he rejects the advice of the elders and listens to his buddies, and then the kingdom collapses, split in two. Members of the body of Christ are commanded. Be turning in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5, if you would, because I want you to see this. Members of the body of Christ are commanded to respect the elders that are looking out for God's family. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 12, the Bible says, "Respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them very highly in love because of their work." Respect those who labor among you, those who are over you in the Lord, those who admonish you. What you should do is esteem them very highly because of their work. We need to think twice, and we need to be very, very careful before speaking against, speaking ill of, not just God's people, but specifically of an eldership of God's people. We're to show respect. So just generally speaking, as a child of God, what I do, what you do, what we do collectively as God's children, we show respect for others. If I were to ask you that, what would be the ultimate way? We've talked about, you know, listening and all this. What would be the ultimate way that you, as a child of God, as a Christian, what would be the ultimate way that you could show someone else respect? How would you answer that question? Well, I would hope in some way, shape, form, or fashion it would involve talking about Jesus. Because the ultimate way in which you will show someone else respect is if you are willing to tell them the truth about Jesus Christ. It's the height of disrespect to remain silent in the face of an opportunity to tell somebody about life in Christ. You know, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 speaks of speaking the truth in love. That's how you show someone's respect. You tell the truth in a loving way. Ephesians 4, a few verses later, verse 32 this time. Here's how you show others respect. You be kind to one another. You're tender-hearted. You forgive one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. I hope you see the stage here being set. The fact that a lot of us have a lot of growth to do in this area. Our God looks down upon us, and as He sees us go about our daily lives, as He sees us go from job, to place, He expects us to treat others with respect. And certainly, above all things, that includes telling the truth about Christ, speaking the truth in love. Are you showing respect for others? Secondly, would be this. We need to be showing respect for ourselves. Now, to respect yourself, in this day and age, you might get a lot of strange information, a lot of conflicting information, but let me just put it simply to you. To respect yourself is not, let me underline that. If you could see my words, they're in bold, they're in all caps, and it's underlined. To respect yourself is not to just do whatever you want to do. That's not respecting yourself. To respect yourself is not to just give in to each and every whim that comes along. That is not respecting yourself. Now, often that is what we're told. In doing just about 2 seconds worth of research, if you just type in how to respect yourself into Google, one of the concepts that comes up over and over and over again is just love yourself and do what you want to do. No, that is not how you respect yourself. It is not how you respect yourself. We'll get into what it is here in just a second, but we also include this. Respect for yourself is also not just doing whatever you must do to be included in some group. Whether that group is just a group of 2 or a group of 2,000, whatever it might be, just doing whatever it takes to be included in a group is not respecting yourself. Sometimes the biggest way that you can show self-respect is to say no. That's how you demonstrate to everyone a little self-respect. To say no when someone wants you to behave in such a way that God has reserved. Let me say this again. We're talking about the same subject. I'm saying it delicately. To say no when someone wants you to behave in such a way that God's reserved for only a husband and wife is a way in which you demonstrate that you respect yourself. To say no when someone wants you to put drugs or alcohol in your body, when you say no, that demonstrates you have some self-respect. To say no when you're pressured to taunt someone. To say no when you're pressured to make fun of someone else. When you say no, that's demonstrating you have self-respect and you have respect for others. In Ephesians chapter 5 at verse 33, the Bible says, "Let each one of you love his wife," what? "As himself." It's clearly expected that you're going to respect and love yourself and then in turn share that and show that to others. The idea is that it is a normal thing for people to respect themselves. It's just that we've forgotten how to do that. It's going to play a major role when we respect ourselves and how we treat others. Think about the way you speak. Maybe you'll be looking in your Bibles at Ephesians 5:4. Think about the way you speak. The words that you use. Have some self-respect. Talk like a child of God. The words that we use not just reflect ourselves and our homes, our families. The words we use reflect the walk we have in Christ. And so he implores you in the middle of Ephesians 4 all the way through the middle of Ephesians 5. He says, listen, the way you talk, the way you use your mouth demonstrates if you have self-respect or not. The way you use your mouth demonstrates if you have respect for me or not, God would say. Think about the way you speak. Show some self-respect. And what about this? Think about the way that you dress. Think about the clothes that you put on. Have some self-respect. Dress in such a way, and I mean this both for men and women, dress in such a way that what you do is that when you present yourself to the world, you demand that people respect you for what's inside of you. You demand that people respect your soul. You demand that people respect your mind. When it comes to what we wear, other people must see what it is that stands out, as it were. And it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 2, that's our respectful and pure conduct. It says in 1 Peter 3, verse 4, that we're to let our adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is so, so precious. Respect yourself by the way you speak. Respect yourself by the way you dress. Respect yourself by filling your heart and mind with things that are eternal. Respect yourself by filling your mind up. Look it with me at Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, 8. Show some respect to yourself by filling your mind with the things that are true, the things that are honorable, the things that are just, the things that are pure, the things that are lovely, the things that are commendable, the things that are excellent, and only those things that are worthy of praise. Respect yourself and fill up your mind and fill up your heart with things that matter, with things that are special, with things that are righteous. To fill yourself with garbage is to just disrespect yourself. It's to show people you come in contact with, and it's to show yourself, I have no respect. Show some respect for others and show some respect for yourself. And it all culminates in this, in showing respect for Christ. In the passage that Patrick read for us a little bit ago, Matthew 21, maybe you'll be turning there. If you're not already there in Matthew 21, the parable is told in verses 33 through 41. There's the individual who's a landowner. He's got lots of land. He's got tenants that are taking care of the land. The time comes to collect. Harvest time comes. It's time to collect on what's been produced here. And so he sends a delegation of people to collect. And they kill them. They mistreat them. He sends another delegation. They mistreat them. And finally, it reaches the point that the owner, the master, the Lord says, "You know what I'll do? I'll send my son." Because look at the passage. Look at exactly what it says in Matthew 21. "I'll send my son." This is verse 37. "Because they will respect my son." They'll respect my son. They'll know who he is. They'll know his connection to me. They'll know how important it is to treat the son of the powerful father, the ruler. They'll know how important it is to treat the son with the greatest of... They'll respect my son when I send him. You see, Jesus was telling this parable, fit so perfectly right there with that group, talking to a group of people who are about to crucify him. It's plain, isn't it? The father has sent the son to you, and what you're going to do with him is put him on a cross. The Father sent me here to be respected, to be revered, to be followed, to be submitted to. And what you're going to do is treat me shamefully. You're going to treat me wretchedly. And he says, you know what happens then? You know what happens when you treat the Son without respect? When you disrespect the Son, you know what happens next? It's misery for those that did. The expectation is that when we encounter God's Son, we will embrace Him and we will show Him the utmost respect. To refuse is to invite a miserable death. To refuse to respect the Son is to just plead for wrath. We said this respect is shown by doing things like listening, right? We said how you show respect to other people is you listen to them. Well, guess what? In Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, the Father said of the Son, "This is my Son, listen to Him." Spend time listening, hearing His words as they settle on our hearts. Listen to Him as we pour through and as we abide in His Word. He said in John chapter 8, verse 31, "Abide in my words and you are my disciples." Listen to me. Show me the respect I deserve as the Son of God. Listen to me. We said with respect to others, that respect is shown when we include them in our major decisions, right? The way I show respect to you is by including you in grand things that are happening. Well, don't you think the same is the case here? I show respect for Christ by including Him in my life, especially the grand things that I might be a part of. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, in everything, not just in the great matters, not just in the scary matters, but Philippians 4, 6 says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Imagine how disrespected our Lord must feel when we go day after day, decision after decision, without consulting and confiding in Him. You think your spouse feels disrespected when you make a decision without them? You know they do. Don't you know your Lord feels disrespected when you make all manner of decisions without including Him? The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 15, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or do that. Take the time to acknowledge the position of power. Take the time to acknowledge the authority of the Lord. Include Him in your life and your decisions. Show Him the respect that He deserves. We also said that respect is shown by respecting time. You show someone disrespect by disregarding the time that's spent. Well, can we give the Lord, can we give Him a day? Can we give Him a few moments of prayer? Can we give Him some time spent in service to others? Can we say that the time of the Lord is more important than our time? Can we show Him that respect? And what about this? We said respect for others is shown by acknowledging boundaries. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, at verse 6, the Bible says we must learn not to go beyond what's written. We must learn not to go beyond the boundaries set by heaven. There are boundaries when it comes to worship. There are things that are authorized and other things that are not. We must respect the boundaries given. There are boundaries when it comes to fellowship. There are boundaries when it comes to morality. God has set boundaries for us. And if we're going to respect Jesus Christ, we will respect those boundaries that He has set. To respect someone is to give them special attention. It's to show them a measure of honor. Scripture absolutely demands that we respect other people. Scripture demands that we respect ourselves, and certainly Scripture demands that we respect our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I wonder, are we demonstrating that we have placed the Lord in a position of respect and honor? Maybe today you need to show some self-respect by acknowledging your sin. You need to show some self-respect by renewing your commitment to the God of heaven. Maybe it's the case that you need to show some respect to Almighty God by coming before Him in humble submission, saying, what I need is to be washed and made clean. What I need is to be purged and made new. If it's the case that you need to show respect for self or for the Lord, and there's any way that we can help, we plead with you to come while we stand and sing.